The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello and welcome. Happy to be back. And partly because I was teaching recently about this topic, I would like to do this week on something I've done before, which is the five characteristics of the Dharma. And ordinarily the Dharma refers to the teachings of the Buddha, and the way there's a very famous chant, at least, you know, well-known chant in Buddhism about the Dharma, about the teachings of the Buddha. But where the word Dharma switches its meaning from teachings to something deeper and more intimate. And I would like to call it intelligence. That the word Dharma here refers to a deep embodied intelligence. Sometimes people refer to the Dharma as the natural law, the natural processes by which things unfold. But I think that Dharma, in terms of the good Dharma, the beneficial Dharma, the beneficial processes, beneficial kind of natural laws in which we live in, kind of, if you call it that, are those that relate to a deep inner intelligence that we have. So the famous teaching goes in English, the well-taught Dharma of the Buddha is visible here, immediate, now, inviting inspection, onward leading, and to be personally realized by the wise. So what the Buddha has to teach is something that is visible here and now, visible here, immediate now, inviting inspection, onward leading, and to be experienced personally. So what I'd like to say, what I want to try to convey this week, is how this word Dharma here, what the Buddha is pointing to, is a deep intelligence within us. An intelligence which we can't quite appropriate for ourselves, can't quite say, this is who I am, but that it's still part of the natural process of being alive that has to do with a deep attunement with what is visible, what we can, and here visible doesn't mean just from the eyes, but from the mind's eye, something that's directly experiences through our senses. So it's not through a book, it's not through a Dharma teacher like me giving a talk, but rather it's all pointing, all these teachings are pointing to something very deeply in here, which is responsivity, something that is born when some kind of inner intelligence meets the world of inside, outside, meets the natural world. And so I want to try to give some examples that I love to do standing meditation. And one of the reasons I like doing standing meditation and close my eyes and just stand is that in standing, much more than in sitting, the body is constantly responding to very subtle micro-muscles, adjusting, moving, tightening, loosening, in order to stay standing upright. Sitting, it's much more a feeling of being stationary, but in standing, there's much more dynamic feeling. And so I get absorbed in this dynamic shifting, changing, adjusting, the little micro-muscles, adjustments in the body. And I'm not doing it. I'm not planning it. I'm not tracking what's needed and sending instructions. Now tighten this muscle, loosen here. The body has its own intelligence. The body is picking up the information it needs to make those adjustments. And I don't know if those, if that, the signal is even going to the brain. The whole mental processing is bigger than just what happens in the brain. And so the body has a kind of intelligence. It has this ability to sense how we are in space, gravity, weight, movement, shift, the pull of gravity. And all these things are coming in and being felt and experienced by the senses. And when those two things meet, the experience of the world and the senses, an intelligence is born, an understanding, a responsivity is born, and something shifts. And throughout the day, we are paying attention to the present moment, almost many times unconsciously and not really intentionally. And our body and our system is adjusting according to reality. So something like walking up a set of steps, if you're able to walk up steps, that as different steps might have different heights. And you might even be talking to a friend or enjoying the view or something, but you pay enough attention and your body knows to lift its foot higher for a taller step than a shorter one. And there's no calculations, no planning, no intention. It can just be kind of a subconscious processing, something that we don't necessarily, the usual sense of self, the one who's in charge, the one who's figuring things out, the one who is impacted by the world that we form a self around, it's not operating. And so something knows in our whole physical system. Throughout the day, the body is making intelligent choices in all kinds of ways to adjust for things. If you're walking down a sidewalk and there's something in the middle of the sidewalk blocking part of it, you might be not, paying attention to other things, your conscious attention, your conscious interest. But if you're alert and sensitive and awake to what's happening on the sidewalk, you might just walk around the obstacle without any thought, without any plan, without any choice to do so. There's some deep responsivity. You step around this puddle, step around this manhole that's open. And so there is this deeper intelligence operating in the contact between senses, the sense world, what you can immediately sense, what's visible here, and what goes on around us. The Dharma is in that kind of midpoint between what we experience and how we experience this. The senses that are there to have contact with the world external world, the internal world. And the Dharma is born in that meeting in a kind of natural intelligence. This natural intelligence of the Dharma, a particular kind of intelligence, the responsivity, understanding, wisdom, is visible here in the place where the senses are operating. So that's one of the reasons why we're trying to be very much in the present moment in Buddhist practice and meditation, because it's in here where a certain intelligence is born. And it's not like a strange mystical thing. my understanding is that we as human beings, we evolved in intimate relationship to the natural world around us on Mother Africa, the continent which the mother, in a sense, for all of us. At a time when we didn't have books and screens and radios and lots of complicated technology, that we weren't living indoors all day long, and places where there are hallways and rooms and choices and places to, you know, indoor places to go. People were finely attuned, their whole body, all the sense doors were attuned to the natural world around them. That's where everything we needed to do and care for and take care of ourselves and be safe was residing, and how we found food and safety. And there was this deep intelligence that had to operate from taking in all this information around us through our senses. We were designed for an intelligence that was sense-based, with carefully with the world. Not one that was where we find intelligence, we find understanding, we find the world of experience on a screen all day. Where we're reading all day and taking in information all day and ideas all day and coding all day or whatever it might be. A way in which our attention to the world is from the neck up, as opposed to deeply connected to the fullness of us, the wholeness of us. And the Dharma, in being directly visible, meaning the Dharma is found in the direct perceptions we have of this world. And that's not a boring thing. It's not a stupid thing. It's not incidental. There's something very deep that can operate when we are in our senses, feeling the present moment as it comes. And in particular, when the natural world that we're finely attuned to, finely sensing and perceiving, is the inner natural world. As we start getting more and more attuned, receptive, feeling the deep inner world of our direct experience, something responds to that. There's tension in sometimes in our body, and there's a knowing of tension. And where those two things meet, an intelligence operates. Some kind of deep knowing, some kind of deep understanding operates. And that is where the Dharma resides. It doesn't reside just in the senses. It doesn't reside just in the world. It relies where they meet. It's kind of like there's water and there's fire. But when they come together, there is steam. Something new is born in the combination of those two things. And that's where the Dharma is found. It's not something abstract. It's not a set of ideas and teachings to memorize. It's what gets born in a kind of natural intelligence in this deep, deep, deep meeting of our senses, our immediate perceptions here, and especially in our inner life, in our inner natural world, where there's a tremendous amount of information coming in about how we find the Dharma, how we find our freedom, how we find what's deeply, deeply meaningful within us, the Dharma that is born in that place. So this will be the topic for this week, and today I've kind of cover the first sanditiko, clearly visible here, perceivable here, and then we'll go through the other four the rest of this week, and hopefully you'll come to a deeper appreciation of this, how the word Dharma, one of the meanings can mean a kind of intelligence that will guide us in this Buddhist practice. Thank you.